This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
There was a Sunday school teacher who was trying to teach his class the importance of being kind to animals. All right, and so he tried to use as many Bible passages as possible, and at the end of the class he said, okay, now I have a question. So what do you say to someone, class, if you find them trying to cut off the tail of a cat? And this little boy put up his hand and said, I know. Matthew 19:6. Let's quote Matthew 19:6. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Okay. So I've been married 16 years. So Wan Yi is here. Wan Yi, my only wife. And then I've got two girls, Emma, who is turning 12 this year in grade 6 in Rhenish, and then Ellie, who will be turning 11 this year in grade 4, also in Rhenish. So we've been living here in Stellenbosch for the past 14 years. Both our kids were born here, and my day job, so to speak, is sports ministry. And the vision for, or the outcome and the vision, the outcome for what we do is, in sport, is to see disciple-making in all nations for Christ in the world of sport and play. So we're tracking the work of sports ministry and disciple-making in 235 countries and territories in the world today, and 3,100 cities with a population of over 100,000 people. So that's the joy that I have to be a part of this global network, of which, you know, many of you know Chris and Yami with Inspired to Become, Daniel also to some degree with what they do in Stellenbosch FC. You're still in Stellenbosch FC. You're not. Okay, you need to go back. Okay, anyway. So other people in this congregation too. So it's a joy to be here. This subject we're going to look at this morning it's not so easy. It's not so easy because it's like talking about marriage. Okay? Everybody sort of knows all about it, heard it all before. It's like someone saying, love your wife. Yeah, I know. I need to love my wife. So go make disciples. Yeah, I know. I need to make disciples. So it's one of those things that, people can sometimes sit and feel a little, oh, we've been here, done that, got the T-shirt. All right? So it's not such an easy topic. But I think it's one of those topics that is akin to maybe Romans 12, 1 and 2. So you read Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but, you know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when you look at the word conform and you would look at the word transform, both words are present continuous. Meaning it's not something that once you decide once, you do it once, and you're done. Checklist. It's present continuous, meaning all the time, daily, never ending until we return into Christ, into God's presence. Disciple making, I think, is something like that. It's present continuous. It's not a once-off. It's not you pray and then something happens or the Holy Spirit falls upon you and there's a switch. It's actually a lifestyle thing. It has to be a part of your lifestyle. And lifestyle is something that is very touchy, right? It is pretty sensitive, especially if you come from a worldview where I like my private space. I need my me time. We need boundaries. If you love the book Boundaries, disciple making is going to be a tough one. Because I've got a friend in India and he says, you know what disciple making means to me? It means giving my disciples access to my fridge. That's discipleship. If they have access to my fridge, I know something has shifted in our relationship. For me, and maybe even for them. So it's not an easy subject. So let me now go to the next slide, where there are two questions on. And I'd like for you to, with the person beside you, just speak to each other for 2 minutes and answer either one of these two questions. What concerns me about disciple-making? Or, if I could ask one question, what would that question be? Okay? 2 minutes. You can begin. All right? Okay, so I'd like to now start on that side of the room and sort of sweep this way, okay? So questions or concerns? And it doesn't mean I will respond to them today, okay? So, but the questions at least will give us an indication as to what are some things maybe I need to highlight now, and then when we meet again sometime in February, I think middle of February, then we'll go deeper because we hopefully will have more time. Okay, so see this as hors d'oeuvres today. Right. On that side, question, and you know what you can say? You can say our group wants to know this. You don't have to say I, all right, just in case. Anyone on that side? No? No questions? So I have questions for you if you don't have questions. But any questions? Concerns? Yes. Right. Yeah. So how far should we go? Does it mean go to Somalia? Right. So because that's a reality. Or does it mean leave certain income generation opportunities? So what does go mean? Okay, great question. Any more on that side of the room? Come on, you guys. Short service. All right, guys, you're done. Now I want you to tell me the names of all the people you disciple. Yes. Okay. Right. So she said three things now. The first one would be, who do we disciple? Right? So that's sort of a question which she gave an answer to. The second thing she said was, what happens if that person tries to control me, manipulate me? It's a power thing. Okay? You know, I'm really concerned about that. And then the third one is capacity. I don't have capacity. Or I'm already overstretched. How can I create more margin? Or must I create more margin? I already disciple my kids or my grandkids. Do I need to do more? Great questions. Anything else? Let's come to more or less this side of the room. Yes, at the back and in the front. Yep. Right. Yep. Right. So the concern is, man, disciple making has been made out to be a program. So disciple making is programmatic. If you complete the program, then you are a disciple or you have arrived. And there's something wrong in that. But the other side also, maybe I hear a concern would be, when does it end? Man, it's like a long drawn. What's the saying? Yeah, never ending story or torture or. Okay, yeah, and not enough life on life maybe. Too compartmentalized. I hear that's a concern. All right, it's only spiritual or Bible study or. Okay. On this side, anything? Oh, wait, you had a question. Your disciples all went away. they were sent, yes. So what happens if there is no obedience? Huh? I think is maybe part of your question. What happens if the disciple knows the right thing to do but doesn't do it? Consistently does not do it. Actually, willful disobedience, even though they know what the Word of God is saying. What do you do? What's your role? You know, I'll add a question in there. Do you say goodbye? Can you say goodbye? Awesome. Yes. Right. So I'm imperfect. Will I transfer my imperfections to the person I'm discipling? And I don't want to see that. Then we shouldn't have children, actually, because that's probably what happens. But grace, right? Grace. So there's also another question in there, which is not your question, but people do ask this. I feel super uncomfortable to say someone is my disciple. They're Jesus' disciple, okay? Not my disciple. So, man, he sounds narcissistic. Controlling. Okay, this side. Yep. Yeah, I'm not even going to comment. Those are great. Okay. Anything else? Yes. Excellent question. I like that. Man, we need a whole month. Meeting every day. Yes. One more. Yeah, that's Ryan. Come on, be nice. Excellent. Okay. Last few questions. I'll just scan through the room one more time. This side. Okay. Okay. Yes. That's a great question. You know what I would answer in a situation like that? I would say, I really don't know. Let's find out together. Okay? Yeah. Hey, we're all growing. We don't have all the answers. You know, when my kids asked me, when they were younger, they thought I knew everything, right? But now they've realized that if I don't know anything, we go to Google. It's like, okay, come on, let's look at the iPad and see what Google says, and then we'll verify, cross-reference. Okay, yeah, makes sense. So, learn together. Maybe let me not go there. But can you see how actually I cannot do this subject justice in the time allotted this morning? Hence why I think Heinrich and Jaco and the church leadership feel that this is a subject that, you need to keep coming back to regularly, especially if the vision statement of the Shofar movement is disciple making, leadership development, church planting, right? Leaders, generations, nations, wanting to see that happen everywhere. So it's something to think about. And I hope the questions you're hearing and the concerns you're hearing from each other will spark more curiosity. And I will hopefully today, this morning, create a bit more itch and curiosity also with certain things I will perhaps open to you. And then let's see where it goes. Okay? So I'm not the answer man. I'm not the answer man. So here are a couple. Let me pray before we begin. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we can wrestle with a subject that is so important. Following from the commandment to love you and to love others. And you called us to make disciples, to be worshippers, to be stewards, Lord, what a great honor, what a great responsibility, because there is no other backup plan. We are the plan to reach the nations and the generations. So even as we wrestle with this, give us a curious mind, Holy Spirit, speak loudly or in your natural, still, small voice. And may we hear you in our spirit, our soul, our mind, and our heart. In your name we pray. Amen. So a couple of things that might be helpful for you to think about. I always like to, I deal with a lot of ministry leaders, church leaders. And oftentimes, sometimes, ministry leaders approach things with a poverty mindset, or a lack of abundance mindset, meaning there's not enough. We need to raise more. We need to find more partners. We need more donations. We need more this. We need more that. Or I'm struggling. And so one of the things we found we needed to work with on ministry leaders is the whole understanding of generosity. And essentially, there are three basic things that one can give generously. That is your time, your talent, and your treasure. Treasure being money. All right? So what we try to help our sport ministry leaders understand is before you even talk about raising money, let's first talk about generosity. Because generosity is a biblical message. The gospel is God being generous, giving his one and only son for you and I. All right? So that's the inherent message of generosity. Now, when you speak about generosity and you link it to disciple making, the question is, which is hardest for you to give? So turn to your partner and rank the three. which is hardest for you to give today? If Heinrich called you and said, I need your time, what would your answer be? Can you give me 2 hours a week for the next year? Or if Heinrich called you and said, can you give me 20,000 rand or 200,000 rand or 2 million rand? If Heinrich called you and said, I need you to design our website or help us redevelop this new thing or create a curriculum for that, what would you say? What's hardest for you? So you discuss. I'll give you a minute. Find your partner. Be honest, yeah? What's easiest? What's hardest? If you see someone sitting alone, just go pull them in. Okay? Good? All right. So, let me ask you this question and then you stand up if it applies to you. I find it easiest to give my time. Stand up. It's easiest for me to give my time. All right. I find it easiest to give my talent. I find it easiest to give my treasure. Okay, take a picture of these people, Nikki. All right. Okay. All right, now, I find it hardest to give my talent. Stand up. It's hardest for me to give my talent. Okay? Hardest for me to give treasure. Hardest for me to give time. Okay? So this is pretty consistent across most urban churches. All right? Now, if I say this to you, think about this. The currency for disciple making is time. If the currency for relationships is time, and if disciple making is time, if disciple making is relationship, as this brother here mentioned, then can you see why it is such a tough? Well, can you see why it requires a lifestyle reorientation? So what would I recommend? I would recommend that you do a time audit. 168 hours a week. You need to be brutal or get your spouse to be brutal with you by allocating the amount of hours you spend to sleep, social media, your mountain biking, or your golf, or your work, and then let's see what's left and what's being given to ministry in that sense. Then you need to wrestle with, okay, so where does disciple making fit as a priority in my life? So you do need to do a time audit, okay? Is that fair? So we can unpack this more at another time. Now, the next slide, I want to introduce another concept to you. So let's introduce the concept of three spaces. So the first space would be your work or school, if you're working or in school, okay? If you're retired, a house mom, then slightly different. If you're in ministry, maybe even slightly different. But let's say work and school for most of you in the marketplace. So that's your first space. You probably spend between 6 to 12 hours, some of you maybe even 14, 15 hours a day at work, right? If you're in a corporate or you're operating your own business as an entrepreneur, the tendency is you give a lot of your time and energy to it. So that's your first space. Then the second space would be your family and recreational time. So now, you know, you have to work, so you're away 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day. Now you come home and then you need to bathe the kids, you need to help them with their homework, maybe you play with them a bit, maybe you do a bit of disciplining. So you add all that up, time with your wife, you know, your date, night, then you want to go to the gym, you need to stay healthy, holistic wellness. So that's your second space, right? Then the third space would be everything else, everything that's left. And typically, we would park church in that third space. That's how we see this Sunday morning. So we see Wednesday evenings, maybe small groups, maybe Bible school, maybe disciple making, maybe Sunday morning. And So that's what we relegate to the third space. Is that fair? So I think oftentimes discipleship is leftovers. So if one and two is full, guess what's left over for three? Right? This is why there's a whole shift in teaching today, in the past 30 years, towards marketplace ministry, where they say, look, can disciple-making, people don't use disciple-making, they use the word church, okay? But can disciple-making happen in the first and second space? And then how is the question. So how do you make disciples in your workplace? How do you make disciples of your colleagues and your employees? How do you make disciples with your suppliers or your clients, customers? Second space, my children, my spouse, my neighbors, the people I mountain bike with or play tennis with or play soccer with, touchies. What does disciple making look like there and how? Can it be done there and how? Make sense? Okay. So certainly it's not a 6-week program. It could be a 6-week program, but it's disciple making can be contained. Parts of disciple making can be contained in a program, but I think if we think first, second, and third spaces, maybe it might free us up to be a bit more creative. Okay? And maybe here's another interesting concept for you to think about. The difference between formal disciple-making and informal disciple-making. So what is formal disciple-making? They know and I know. Okay? So there are certain people in my life where they know they're being discipled by me and I know. There's a high level of commitment. But there's another kind of disciple-making which is informal, meaning I know, but they don't know. So I intentionally sow, and I'm intentionally imparting spiritual input. Okay? We teach our disciple-makers 4S, the 4S tool. When you have a conversation with someone, anyone, can you start a simple conversation and move it into serious, and from serious into spiritual, and from spiritual into scriptural? Okay? And what's the quickest way to get from a simple conversation to a spiritual conversation? You ask them, how can I pray for you? You might be talking about rugby and the weather and, you know, the stock market. You might be talking about how tired you are, and then you ask, man, it sounds like you're having a rough time. How can I pray for you? And suddenly, from a superficial, simple conversation, you're having a spiritual one. And they might very well say, no, it's okay, nothing. I don't need you to pray for me. And it's okay. But Deuteronomy chapter 6, a Shema lifestyle, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And then if you read verse 6 to 10, it speaks about, you know, when you walk in the streets, you do this. When you sit at home, you do this. When you lie down, you do this. You post it here, you wear it here, you wear it there, you tie it around your wrist. Living a spiritually conspicuous and consistent life, in private and in public, and people know that you are a spiritual person. I don't mean Bible basher, okay? I don't mean fire and brimstone preaching at your workplace on a little box. That's not what I mean. There's a difference between appropriate evangelism and aggressive evangelism. So I'm dropping many ideas, yeah? I hope you will come back in February so we can unpack them. Bring your treasure along. I'm joking. Okay, so three spaces. So what is the end in mind? So next slide. Oh, if you can somehow fix that. I don't know if you can fix that, but actually, you will see, there it is. You will see on the left and on the right, almost similar looking jets. So in September 2018, Popular Mechanic actually did a whole feature on the Chinese Air Force. and they called it China's copycat Air Force. So on the left is a Chinese plane, on the right is the F-16. And actually, there are about 5 or 6 slides there of how China literally stole or borrowed, or at, you know, there was one time they wanted to buy a specific Sukhoi plane from Russia. Russia didn't want to sell it to China, so China bought it from Ukraine, brought it back to China, stripped it, re-engineered it, and it looked like one of these planes. Oh, there. That's the Reaper. That's the one that killed that guy, Soleiman, in Iraq, the Iranian general. All right? So those are all the Chinese copycats. So the thing is, how can we reverse engineer? And that's asking, what's the end in mind? What's the design outcome? And then let's work backwards. So what's the end in mind? So clearly the end in mind is God's kingdom established everywhere. You know, God's glory and his name made renowned everywhere. Okay? All people, all places. And what does that look like? That looks like when the body of Christ is present, living out in obedience, faith, love, hope, joy, together. Right? So how does one get that? Well, most would say that gathering where the kingdom of God is present and real and alive and tasted, and you can taste, that would look like the church. Or a gathering of baptized believers that meet regularly for the purpose of worship, nurture, fellowship, so as to leave the gathering in order to obey Christ, love Christ in every part of their lives. So that's the church. So essentially, when we say what's the end in mind, we want to see that gathering of baptized believers everywhere so that God's glory and his kingdom will be made known and evidenced. So if we want to see those gatherings happen, how does it start? It starts when people come together and are discipled. So I hold to a position that you don't plant churches to make disciples. You make disciples so churches are formed. See the difference? So if you are a business owner or a teacher in school or a sports coach or you know, serving on the PTA in your school, wherever you are in that first, second, or third space, the people around you are potential disciples, formally or informally, so that a gathering of baptized believers can convene. You may call it church, you may not call it church, it doesn't really matter what you call it. But urban missions is moving to a point where, you know, there's all sorts of research now, books written about the new Reformation. The Reformation is 502 years old now. And they're saying all the institutional model of church, people meeting on a Sunday morning, is in decline all around the world. This way we meet might not be around very much longer for a number of reasons. Persecution, urbanization, the fact that, you know, work now could be shifts and you might work on a Sunday morning, you know. What happens to people that work on a Sunday morning? Where do they go? In Shofar, Somerset West. What do they do? So new ways of gathering. How much time do we have? We're done. So if that is the end in mind, then we need disciples. We need everyone in the body of Christ to be able to make disciples. Okay? So let me go through very quickly now. And can I ask you for 15 minutes more? I want to do something with you that will make this really practical. Okay? So I want to show you a passage of scripture. And so when I say, look, we want to see churches planted and you can be a church planter, what does church mean? How do you define church? And so the most basic definition of church, which most church planters in the world are probably using, is Acts chapter 2. Okay, so let me read it quickly. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Acts 2:41 to 47. Some would even start from 36 to 47. Okay? And you can click the next animation. So on the right are everything that you can extrapolate from the scripture related to the functions of church. Function, not form. Singing with a person standing in front with an instrument is one form. Okay? Singing in a circle, lying down on your face, worshipping in utter silence are different forms of worship. Poetry, drama, art, drawing, sculpting, these are all forms of worship. Playing sport is a form of worship. So I always encourage church leaders not to get stuck on form, but to rather look at function, and form can be contextualized, can be adaptive. Okay? So those are all the functions that you see from Acts chapter 2 of church. So does this church baptize people? Does this church have elders? Does this church study the scripture? Does this church have fellowship? Does this church break bread? Etc., etc. All right? So look at the functions of the church. So the question is, when you make disciples, is it possible to simulate the functions of church in the time that you're with your disciples? All right? So this is what I'd like to now do with you for the next 12, 13 minutes as a simulation. All right? Everyone game? Good. Now, what you need to do is you need to move into your small groups. If you're part of a small group, if you're not, then just pull someone. But move into your small group setting, and then in your small group, sit 2 by 2. Okay? Can I give you 30 seconds for this? You can. Ready, set, go. The same urgency as if Christ is returning. Pull your small group together. If someone's visiting the church for the first time, just put up your hand. Someone will find you. Can you go to slide number 13, 1-3? Yeah, great. It's good. Okay, just back one. Back one. Just move back. Back. Just move back the slide. Yeah, back again. Right, just back. Okay. So, pair up. You will need a Bible. Okay, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 9. Just 2 or 3 verses from that, or 3 or 4 verses. So, you are going to work together in pairs. Okay, not the whole group, but just find a partner. Because if the whole group does this together, it'll take too long. So I want you to have a partner, and we'll just use blocks of 2 minutes, 1.5 minutes, 2 minutes. So be succinct. Don't say too much, but I also want to encourage you to be genuine, okay, in your responses, in your reply to the questions. So I'm going to introduce you a process of looking back, looking up, and looking forward. There will be about 13 or so questions, and I'll introduce you the questions in blocks, and then you just speak to your partner and answer these questions together. So if you are 2 people, imagine that I'm sitting with you. I'm going to be in front, but imagine I'm sitting there with you. I'm the facilitator of this discipleship group, or a discovery Bible study in that sense. And so just imagine I am asking you this question, and then all 3 of us would be responding. Okay? Got it? Great. So the first set of questions would be in the looking back. So I'm going to ask you 2 questions, and you just, well, 3 questions, and you answer them all together in about 3 minutes, okay? What are you thankful for? What need do you have? What need does someone close to you have? Okay, so if you go to the slide. Next slide, please. Next slide. Yeah. What are you thankful for? Okay, because when we share what we are grateful or thankful for, there will be one slide right at the end which captures all the questions. So you don't have to take a picture of every slide, okay? So what are you thankful for? The foundation is worship. Gratitude is the foundation of worship. The next question you will answer is, what are you concerned about that we can help you with? What need do you have? The third question is, what needs do your friend or community have that we could pray for? So thankful for my need and need of someone else. You want to teach your disciple to not only look inward, but to also look outward. Okay, three questions. Ready, set, go. What are you thankful for? What is your need? What is the need of someone else? So move on to your need and the need of someone else. Okay, the last question, the needs of someone else. And then you can close in prayer. Bring the needs before God. Lord, we bring all the needs to you, knowing that you care and they matter. And each person matters. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we always start with these questions. What are you thankful for? What are your needs? What are the needs of someone close to you? Then what we do in the look back also is we ask the discipleship group or the disciple. So when we last met, what did we learn? Okay. Has anyone ever asked you what you learned from last Sunday's sermon? Exactly. You come and it's a new thing and then you move on. Nobody asks you if you learned anything. One question, what did you learn the last time we were together? And nobody usually asks you whether you applied what you learned. So we ask, what did we learn when we last met? Question four. Question five is, how did you obey what you learned? Because last week you said this is what you would do with what you learned. So I'm holding you accountable to obedience. We hold each other accountable to obedience in a group. So how did you obey what you learned? Then question six would be, who did you share what you learned with? Who do you share it with? Because you're trying to teach, inculcate a lifestyle of proclamation. Okay? You get it? So obviously, we were not together last week, so those questions are not relevant now. But what are you thankful for? What are your needs? What are the needs of someone around you? You pray. You know, what did we learn last week? How did you obey that? Who did you share it with? And how did it go? Okay, six questions. They're there. And then now we go to the middle. Now we look up, look back, review. Now we look up. Look up is basically look at Scripture, look at God. Okay? And so in the looking up, we'll say, okay, it's great that we're here now. Let's look at what Scripture has to teach us today. So I'd like for you now to turn to Matthew chapter 9. Verse 35 to 38. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. Now, if you're in the workplace or you're on an aeroplane and you really can't open the Bible, it's not appropriate to open the Bible. You know, what you do is you just tell a story. So you should have certain stories in your belt, under your belt. The prodigal son, if you're with Muslims, all right? Or certain verses, certain parables, know them. So you can always recount Scripture through storytelling. It's great when you work with kids also. Anyone, actually. So you say, okay, let's look at the Scripture. And today, we'll look at Matthew 9, 35 to 38. Okay? And this is what I'm going to ask you to do, group. I want you to read this out loud and then to retell this using your own words so that even your grandmother could understand this passage. Or grandfather. Okay? How would you paraphrase or how would you retell this passage, Matthew 9, 35 to 38, using your own words? And then I will also say to the group, and I want you to listen to the person that's retelling. I want you to pay attention to whether they added anything in the retelling or they left something out in the retelling. Why is this important? Because I'm trying to teach my disciples how to use the word as authority. Don't look to me for the answers, look to the scripture, and to also see and hear whether the retelling of the passage is accurate. This prevents heresy. And this establishes a discipline of course correction, not based on what the teacher says, but based on what the scripture says. You get it? Teach them to discern between what is right and wrong by using the scripture as authority. Okay? So, the three things you do, you read Matthew 9:35-38. The first person retells, the second person retells, the first person retells, the second person would ask, would say, I see you left this out, or I see you added this. Where did you find it from? Can you show me? In the passage we just read. Okay? Go back to the scripture. Okay. Ready, set, go. 4 minutes. Read it, retell, course correct. Read it, retell, course correct. Check. Read it, retell, and check. Added or left out? Anything added, anything left out? Okay, good. So we've looked back. We looked at what we're thankful for, the needs, personal needs, needs of other people in our community. We have reviewed what we learned. We reviewed how we obeyed it. We reviewed who we shared it with. That was all the look back. Now we look up. We're looking at God's Word. And, you know, this can be as simple or as complex as you want it to be. So simple would be just storytelling and repetition of storytelling. Okay? And in an African rural setting or in a lot of places where it's still narrative-based or oral-based, people memorize portions, segments of Scripture, because a lot of it is stories. You can go all the way to, like, in-depth inductive Bible study. Okay? So it really depends who you're with. A not-yet believer, a young believer, a very mature believer. Okay? So you can adapt the look up. But the key is the look forward also. So the last three questions. So from the reading of this scripture, what will you obey? So you got to answer this. So for example, for my family, the way we obey Matthew 9 is verse 38 specifically. We schedule on our watches and our phones at 9:38 a.m. every single morning. We pause to pray Matthew 9:38. Lord, send workers into the harvest field. It doesn't matter where we are. If we are with people that can join us in prayer, we invite them for 30 seconds to join us. If we're not, if we're driving, then you shouldn't close your eyes. You just, you know, keep them open and you pray. If you're in a work meeting, then obviously you pray quietly in your heart, in your spirit. But Matthew 9:38, praying 9:38 a.m., p.m., and or p.m. And we have thousands in 150 countries across the world in our sport ministry movement that have adopted this prayer strategy, 9:38. So that's how we apply it. So what will you obey from the reading of this passage? Question 10. Question 11. Who will you share this with? Don't say, those I meet on the street. No, be specific. Okay? And then what will you obey? Also, don't say something like, I will spend more time in prayer. No, that's not helpful. I will give 2 minutes to pray for this topic beginning today. Specific. You must be able to hold each other accountable to the specific obedient step. All right? So, question 10, what will you obey? 11, who will you share with? 12, question 12 is really useful if you are with a not-yet believer. When do you want to meet again to have these kind of conversations? And if they say, oh, wow, tomorrow, man, this is great. Can I bring my wife too? You always say to a non-believer, yes. You make time in your day and you go to them. You have to. You cannot say, see you next week, see you in a month. You can't. They're hungry. They're open. The Spirit has led them to this point. So when do you want to meet again? If they say, no, I don't have time, I'll call you. Then you know, right, you keep praying for them, but they're not ready to have deeper spiritual conversation. Okay? So back to you. Just take 1.5 minutes and then we close. What will you obey from Matthew 9:35-38? Who will you share with? Be specific, please. Okay, so does everyone have an obedience, I will, statement? I will do this? Show me your hands if you have one. An obedience step? No? Not obedience to me, obedience to God's word. Does anyone have any obedience to God's word? Next step. Okay, good. Please have one. And then, do you have someone you will share this with? At least one person by name? It's a step of faith, yeah? It takes courage. Okay? Good. There are many things I can say because this is a 12 to 16 hour training that we do. So I've just introduced to you certain core ideas from this 16 hour training in this 45 minute block of time. So please come in February and we can unpack this further. There are a lot of things behind the what to the why to the what and the how, and you can come and we can unpack that. My only encouragement to you is don't try this once and say, yeah, it doesn't work. That's the danger. People say, ah, this doesn't work. I tried this already. All right? My encouragement is don't throw it out too quickly. Pray that the Lord in the coming weeks will give you opportunity to implement this in some way. And then obviously when I come again, hopefully we'll dig deeper into this, answer more of your specific questions on some of the things this morning, as well as in this methodology of engaging the scripture for disciple making. Okay? The Lord bless you. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.